B&E?
That's a good question for the show with people audience. When there's nothing, on, what's your go-to?
Mine's is a Western, because I always like when a white dude plays an Indian. Like that dude, it's just so wrong, you know what I mean? Like that guy's from Italy. What are you talking about?
When there's nothing on, I go to, usually I'll fire up my Eagles documentary, the Eagles, or my Tom Petty documentary.
Okay. You go to music documentaries. Okay. Most of our listeners will say, I go right to my porn. When there's nothing going on, I go right to it. I go right to my office, shut the door. Just tell us what you do.
Why do you think I got four TVs?
Oh, see, there you go. Oh, my.
Good night, nurse. That's right. The good, the bad, and the ugly on a busy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. We'll recap it for you coming up. But if you were like Buck, who totally unplugged for 4 days at the at Fish Camp.
Fish Camp, USA.
USA, USA. Corpus Christi Bay. Baffin Bay, I think, is where you were.
Baffin Bay?
Baffin Bay.
Sweet.
Sweet. I think that's where you were hanging out in fish camp, catching the fish.
I know it takes you 45 minutes to get, once you get in the boat, then you go 45 minutes
down the intercoastal there.
Down the canal, and there it is.
Nice. Well, we were in Corpus, too, this weekend for a baseball tournament, but not at fish camp, staying at the Comfort Inn or Comfort Suites or something.
Comfort Suites?
No, you know, my son got to play. They played at Texas A&M Corpus Christi on their field. That's a great little campus right there in Corpus. What a neat little spot.
I love different hotels. Did they have breakfast for you too? They had a little breakfast in the morning?
They did. Complimentary breakfast.
Love those complimentary breakfast, man.
Yeah, with the powdered eggs and the old lady serving it up.
Oh, yeah. It's good. Those nasty, English muffins or whatever, the bagels that you really can't stick in the toaster because they're so hard.
Yeah.
But you got to have it. Orange juice is always good.
Got to have that, man. The complimentary breakfast. But, so we're back with you on a Monday. We'll recap it all coming up. Also, our Coach's Corner. Speaking of that, when we get to Coach's Corner on a good, the bad, and the ugly, our man CB has sent us a grid of who were the Big 12 coaches 10 years ago, a mere 10 years ago, 2007, and where are they now? It's pretty dramatic. We'll run through that for you. Let's get your hour going. Let's get your Monday going with a recap of the headlines. Ticket City update desk we go, and we'll start with plenty of baseball. It's kind of a wide-ranging sports morning. Start with the baseball, major leagues. How about the weekend for the Texas Rangers? They finished off a three-game sweep of the Washington Nationals, the first-place team in the NL East. They had the best record in the National League entering the weekend, but the Rangers took three straight. And yesterday was one of the great stories of the season so far. Austin Bibbins-Dirks, who made his third start, outpitched Max Scherzer, the ace of the Nationals, in a 5-1 win. Elvis Andrus drove in a couple. And Texas improves to 10-2 in interleague play. They now head to Houston for three this weekend with the first-place Astros. Astros had something happen to them this weekend that hadn't happened all year. They dropped a series to a team from the NL West. The LA Angels took two out of three, including a 12-6 win yesterday. Houston's injuries on the mound are starting to show up. They currently have four starting pitchers on the DL. One of those starters is coming back tonight to open the series with Texas. Joe Musgrove will make his first start since May 26th. He's been battling a bit of some shoulder stiffness. He'll face Yu Darvish tonight. Houston still leads the NL West by a dozen games entering that series. A rough night and day for the Round Rock Express in Oklahoma City yesterday. How about a 6-run ninth inning? End up losing in walk-off fashion, 10-7 final. Round Rock takes the day off. They head to New Orleans for a series there. College baseball, 7 of the 8 teams are set for the field at the College World Series in Omaha, and that field does include the Texas A&M Aggies and the TCU Horned Frogs. Both teams won their Super Regionals over the weekend, 2-0. Aggies took down Davidson, while the Horned Frogs dispatched of Missouri State. Also headed to Omaha, Florida State will be there. They took down the Bearcats of Sam Houston State. Cal State Fullerton took out Long Beach State, who had eliminated the Longhorns. LSU, Louisville, Oregon State, all Omaha bound as well. The only spot remaining will be decided today between Wake Forest and Florida. In hockey, it was Sid the Kid. Sidney Crosby winning his second straight Conn Smythe Trophy as the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Goalie Matt Murray stood on his head, 27 saves for his second straight shutout as Pittsburgh. The Penguins become the first team to repeat as champions in nearly two decades with a 2-0 win over Nashville in Nashville last night in Game 6. Sid the Kid, your MVP.
You know, we knew it was going to be tough all year, but we just tried to keep with it. We had a lot of injuries and things like that, so we just kept finding ways. That was really what we did all season, all playoffs, and it's great to be able to do it.
In soccer, U.S. men's national team finished off a great week. They played Mexico to a 1-1 draw in Mexico City last night, highlighted by Michael Bradley hitting a 40-yard shot from unbelievable shot, one of the best shots you'll ever see, to put the U.S. up 1-0 in the game's sixth minute. Mexico's Carlos Vela tied it in the 23rd minute, and that's what they played to a 1-1 draw. But that gives the U.S. 4 points this week in World Cup qualifying. In golf, U.S. Open week on tap. Yesterday, Daniel Berger held off Charles Schwartzel to win the St. Jude's Classic by a stroke in Memphis. Our national championship will tee off this Thursday at Erin Hills Country Club in Wisconsin. They'll tee it off on Thursday. And in the NBA, Game 5 of the NBA Finals is tonight, right back where we started a year ago. Remember, it was 3-1 Golden State through four games. It'll be Game 5 tonight in Oakland. That's after Cleveland made 24 three-pointers in a 137-116 win over Golden State in Game 4. That was the first loss of the playoffs for the Warriors. It's now 3-1 headed back to Oakland for tonight's Game 5. It's an 8 o'clock tip. And that's the news from the Ticket City Update Desk.
Let me ask you, did you have a beautiful full moon on Saturday, Friday and Saturday down in you imagine that off the water, sitting there on the porch watching that? That big, bright orange moon. It was incredible down at the bay.
We were at a baseball, at 8 o'clock game in Corpus.
There was something.
Right there at A&M Corpus Christi. So, yeah, I got to see that. I saw some pictures of the full moon in Austin. It was unbelievable. It was like burnt orange. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was good stuff down there at the coast. And I actually ate with my hands down the coast.
You ate with your hands?
Yes. We had a fish fry on Saturday night, which was the best fish fried. I mean, I don't generally eat fried fish, but it was unbelievable. The trout was good.
Fresh out of the
redfish, right out of there, right into the big boiler, the big fryer. And, of course, we had onion rings, too. Battered onion rings right down there. And eating with my hands like a savage was great.
Because you were starving. There's something about being at the beach.
You're hungry and you want to sleep. I did have some naps.
Nice.
I had the nap a few times.
All right, so Game 5 tonight, NBA Finals. We'll dive into our coach's corner coming up. And
Bob Stoops is afraid. Bob Stoops was afraid he had to retire. He had enough. He's already had enough of Tom Herman, and Tom Herman proved that when he was at Houston last year. Do you remember Game 1 of the college football season last year?
I do.
When that Houston team just about dismantled physically the Oklahoma Sooners, physically.
Do you remember then when Bob Stoops and Oklahoma got into the Big 12 and went undefeated? And
we're talking about but that's the Big 12.
And won it.
It's the Big 12!
Come on, we're talking about the Big 12.
You think Stoops was scared of 5-7 Shane Buechele and Puna Ford on the other side?
You had to go there. That's not right. Don't go there. This group is winning. Now that Bob Stoops is out of the picture, now it's 9 games. The only loss is coming at Oklahoma State and USC.
That's 10 right there if it's only those two.
No, that doggone TCU. But they still fight. Gary Patterson hasn't done anything. Big Gary Patterson. What's he done lately?
He's your guy.
He's got AIDS.
But what has he done lately? What's Big Gary Patterson done lately?
A couple years ago, they were playing for trying to be in the national from the Final Four.
They've beaten Texas like 600-0 in the last 3 years combined.
That's not necessary.
Yeah, I remember 2 years ago, it was 50-0.
That's not necessary either. But you know what? You know who's that? We don't have to worry about Texas Tech. They got no quarterback going on. I'm worried about that Oklahoma State group. That may be a top 10 team in the nation this year. Top 6 or 7. That group is good.
I think Mason Rudolph and company are going to be really good, or have a chance to be really good, I think is the way I should say it. But, all right, we'll dive into our coach's corner with that. Before we get to coach's corner, what are we thinking tonight? If you missed Game 4 on Friday, we finally had a Golden State loss in the playoffs. And how about this number? I mean, it doesn't take a math wizard to figure out 24 three-pointers is 72 points. But Cleveland outscored the Warriors 72 to 33 from beyond the arc. They made 24 three-pointers, which is an NBA record. They were hitting them from everywhere. And, you know, that might be the one-game aberration in this series. And you know, Golden State comes back tonight and wins this thing and closes out, and they're the champions, as a lot of people expected. But, if Cleveland plays with that aggression, with that physicality, and with that confidence, and that's the one thing that jumped out on Friday, is they took it to Golden State. They attacked Golden State, and instead of playing on their heels and being in awe of all the talent that they have.
They can't do that for 3 more games in a row. If they have an off night, they'll lose. They'll lose. Whether you lose by 2 or you lose by 15, they can't do that for 3 straight games. That group, they just haven't been able to do that this year, and I don't think they can do it.
You're right. I mean, 24 threes, I mean, it's historic. I mean, you live by the 3 and die by the 3. But so far in this series, the difference in the series has been three-pointers. Before Friday night, it had been Golden State outscoring Cleveland from beyond the arc, 138-93. And that's really has been the separation. Obviously, 3's more than 2.
It's kind of the NBA.
And nobody makes more 3s than the Golden State Warriors. But on Friday night, Cleveland beat them at their own game. And, you know, attacked them from beyond the arc and made the shots. Now, they don't fall, obviously. It's a different story, but they were the aggressors. They scored 49 points in the first quarter. first quarter. As we said, Golden State scored 68 in the first half, and we're down 18. Now, that just leads that, okay, they just didn't bring their defense. They didn't. But it also meant Cleveland was nailing everything, and they were being the aggressors offensively. We'll see if they can carry that over into game number five tonight.
That's why I thought it was important when I asked the question, that 116, was that legitimate points, or was that just at the end scrubs getting points? I know how it gets to be a scrubby game. But they got 116, Golden State, and they were in the thick of things, maybe even
they got it back to the 13 or 14, and they hit a couple threes. Ooh, here comes Golden State. No, every time they did.
So they weren't real garbage points. They still got 116.
And really, I mean, LeBron James had a triple-double. He was incredible, 31 points and 11 and 10. And Kyrie Irving was a superstar. He scored 40 points in that game.
What did Tristan do? Did he wake up a little bit?
I don't think I noticed him.
Really?
He didn't make any threes. I know that.
Solid 5 points, but he did have 10 rebounds.
10 boards. 10 boards.
He out-rebounded Steph Curry for the first time this series. Nice work, TT.
Well, look, I mean, obviously if Cleveland can carry that over and we find a way to win tonight, well, then all of a sudden the seeds of doubt creep into the Golden State Warriors because...
Yeah, you lose tonight, it does.
Now it becomes kind of a mental thing. You're like, wait a second. Because then you got to go back to Cleveland where they'll be rabid and crazy. Obviously, you know, I still think Golden State's going to win this series, and I do think it's make our official pick coming up, but I lean that it's going to end tonight. But if Cleveland keeps playing with that aggression on both ends and physicality, you could tell they were getting under Draymond Green's skin. They weren't taking it from Golden State, and they attacked Steph Curry and really were physical with him, and he had an off game, to say the least, in that basketball game. So we'll see. Game five coming up tonight. It's the same thing it was a year ago. 3-1 Golden State headed back to Oakland. Obviously, big differences. Kevin Durant is playing for Golden State. He wasn't last year. And Draymond Green, this is where he served his one-game suspension a year ago. He will not be suspended for this game, and despite the fact that he did throw a pretty good elbow in the third quarter of game four the other night that a lot of people thought was a bit of a cheap shot. There were some hard fouls, man. There were three different or four different reviews in that third quarter of hard fouls and flagrants, and told you about the Zaza Pachulia attempt at Iman Shumpert's nether regions from when he's laying on the ground. And, you know, Greg Popovich has given you his opinion on Zaza Pachulia, dirty player, right? It was a bit of a dirty swipe at his...
down below?
Gonadial region.
His undercarriage. I love that one.
His gonadial region.
His nadials. Don't do that. That's not good.
BK, you think that was a cheap shot? You think he was doing that on purpose?
Yeah, I mean, Zaza's...
He was swiping at his...
Zaza's a dirty player, man. He just flails and tries to whack people. He's been doing that for years.
Ask Greg Popovich.
Well, I didn't see any Cavs fans send death threats to Zaza's family this time, so, you know.
Well, it was Iman Shumpert. If he had hit LeBron James in the...
That's a different world. Adios, that's different.
Now might have a little bit of a different thing.
The mafia from down in Cleveland comes after you then.
Ooh.
Can't do that.
There's some mafiosos in that area.
Was that manslaughter, as Pop would say?
Manslaughter.
Yeah, thanks, Pop.
Well, you're talking about intent. Let's get to your Coach's Corner.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
All right, Coach's Corner on a Monday. Here's your list. Buggy wasn't here last Thursday to talk about, and Friday to talk about the Bob Stoops decision. But here it is, 10 years ago, Buck. 10 years ago, 2007. Here were your coaches in the Big 12. Baylor's coach was Guy Morris. He's out of coaching. Iowa State's coach was Gene Chizik. He's out of coaching. Kansas's coach, BK, 10 years ago.
Greatest of all time.
Mark Mangino. He's out of coaching. Missouri's coach was Gary Pinkel. He's out of coaching. Bob Stoops was Oklahoma's coach. He's out of coaching now. Texas's coach was Mack Brown. He's out of coaching. Texas A&M, of course, was still in the conference. They had Dennis Franchione. He's out of coaching. Only guy still coaching from 10 years ago, Buck. Mike Leach is the coach at Washington State. Bill Callahan is the offensive line coach of the Washington Redskins. Ron Prince is the offensive line coach of the Detroit Lions. And Dan Hawkins, Mr. Big 12 himself, is the coach at UC Davis.
UC Davis has football?
It's the Big 12!
The dude's coaching head coach at UC Davis? I thought they only had a basketball team.
Obviously, every one of those circumstances is different than the other.
Sure.
But, you know, it's kind of been black and white. Wow, that's interesting. Obviously, Missouri and Texas A&M are no longer in this conference. They're elsewhere. So, be interesting to see. You do think Tom Herman's presence had an impact on Bob Stoops' decision?
Yeah, man. Now they got a new coach. He's 33 years old. He's ready. He's up. He's energetic. He'll be tweeting with the best of them. He'll do all the stuff that you have to do to impress young players to come, because when it all comes down to it, it's about your recruiting and the players that you get. Once you get them on campus, it's great. But to keep up with the Joneses right now, and you're going to have to keep up with Tom Herman and what he's doing. Bob, I just don't think Bob Stoops wants to sit around tweeting and Instagramming and doing that thing 5 or 6 times a day or whatever per player. He doesn't have that. He probably doesn't have that kind of energy anymore. His dad, he lost his father on the sideline at a high school game. He's probably looking at that saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I got a lot of money. I've won a lot of games. I've owned the Big 12. I've owned that Big 12. So I can go, and even if he takes some time away, it wouldn't surprise me if he never came back to coaching. But if he came back, so be it. He just needs some time away. Plus, he's afraid of Tom Herman, because Tom Herman is coming in here rolling people right now. Dude is rolling people. He rolled him last year down in
Houston. Let's get Bobby Jack right on this show and ask him if he thinks he's afraid of Tom Herman.
I mean, Big Bob Stoops. Come on. He needs a break.
Big Bob Stoops.
He's a young guy, 56 years old or 55 years old.
I don't think he's done coaching. I think when jobs come open this offseason, he'll be the number one candidate or top candidate for all of them.
He had a great job. Why would you leave a great job then? You're the Sooner King. Why would you then quit and then come back?
I don't know. That's the debate. I don't know. That's why I was stunned last week when he decided to walk away from the Big 12 and a team that
wasn't pushed out.
No, well, I mean, I don't know. You know, just the time was right for him. The feeling when, you know, he said he started to feel a little bit before spring practice after the recruiting class was signed and wanted to give it some time to see where it was when they got through and the school year ended. And now here he is. Now, you know, everyone's got their speculation that he went in and told Joe Castiglione that this was it. This 2017 was going to be his last year, and he wanted Lincoln Riley to be the heir apparent. And at that point, Castiglione said, no, we'll find our own next coach if 2017 is going to be your last year, to which he ejected now, forcing Lincoln Riley into the spot with an already good team because he thinks Riley's the right coach. Who knows? Everybody's got their opinion and speculation on it.
Lincoln Riley, 33 years old. That's an incredible gig.
33, and he's never been a head coach at any level.
I mean, that's what I said. Tom Herman gets another one. Chalk up another one.
7 years ago, he was a grad assistant or what, a wide receivers coach at Texas Tech with Mike Leach. Now he has the keys to the Oklahoma program at 33 years old, having never coached a game.
I know it's hard for people to understand, and especially around here, Bob Stoops is one of the great coaches.
Oh, well, he's been to 4 national title games. I mean, you look at his resume, 18 years, 10 Big 12 championships, 4 trips to the national championship game. He went 1-3 in those championship games, but the losses came to Nick Saban, Pete Carroll, who was the third, BK? Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, and Tim Tebow, and St. Tim Tebow.
Got beat by the Saint.
It's hard to beat Jesus, man.
Yeah, what's Urban Meyer's coaching him. Urban Meyer's won 85% of his games at Ohio State now. So, yeah, those are his 3 losses. Lost to LSU with Nick Saban at the helm.
You know, we just see people around football just kind of leaving sooner, earlier and earlier as we go on. Players in the NFL are starting to say, you know what? You know, a lot of those are about injuries, but they put a lot of effort into it, and Bob Stoops has put a lot of effort and got a lot out of college football. And I don't think he will go back and coach another college football team. I just don't think he'll do that. I think it's okay to walk away at 56 years old.
Next year, he'll have to think about it. Because, look, when he was at Oklahoma, there was no easy way to move, right? Because he's at the top and he's coaching Oklahoma. I do think there's a part, my speculation is there's a part of Bob Stoops that's always wanted to coach at Notre Dame.
Oh, you do? You think that's it?
Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, he's always said it's his dream job. Kind of like Urban Meyer. Look, Urban Meyer walked away from Florida, had health issues, health concerns, remember, his family reasons. He took a year off, and then all of a sudden his dream job opens up. You know, grew up in Ashtabula, Ohio. Ohio State opens with the Jim Tressel scandal, and all of a sudden, well, I can't turn that job down. That's my dream job. If Brian Kelly struggles in South Bend this year, and he's already on thin ice with all the off-field issues and last year's 4-8 season, the natives are restless there under the dome. If he's out, you'd be silly not to call Bob Stoops.
So you don't think it's the fact that Tom Herman's just sticking it to him, sticking his foot right in him in recruiting right now? He's sticking him. He's stealing players from him. Tom Herman hasn't played a game, and he's stealing Bob Stoops' players. He's taking them right, left and right.
Well, there are already reports that the guy Ron Tatum, the big defensive end, is going to flip to the Sooners at some point here soon. Back to Oklahoma. He's the kid out of the state of Oklahoma. We'll see. I don't think that's one thing I will disagree with. I don't think Bob Stoops left because he was afraid of Tom Herman. I don't think he's afraid of the competition. I think he wants a fresh start. I think he understands.
He's not going to say he's afraid. No coach is going to say they're afraid, well, but deep down in the back of their mind.
He's dominated this conference.
You saw the beginning game. He said, oh, my God, Tom Herman beat me down with these players from Houston. He beat me down last year in the opening ball game. Half my team was injured. That guy, Semenji Perrine, or whatever his name was, that dude.
Samaje Perrine!
Remember when Perrine got hurt in that Houston game?
I do.
Bob Stoops' guys got beat up physically.
They did. They got outcoached.
And Perrine got hurt in that game. Remember Perrine?
And then they played Ohio State 2 weeks later and got slaughtered.
Yes.
By the Buckeyes. And, and that was it. That was their last loss.
Sometimes, then he came to the Big 12 and went, come on.
Easy Street.
Easy Street came up again. It's the Big 12. Easy Street showed up.
Right. So why would he walk away from the Big 12?
That's what I'm saying. He's sick of owning the Big 12. 10 Big 12 championships, a national championship, and you may be right, E. Maybe he's sick of the Big 12. Maybe this cakewalk has just been too easy for him. Maybe he needs a year off and he's going to go to something bigger.
This says Urban left for family. Ha. Team of problems and NCAA lurking. No quarterback right on the wall. No, coaches leave for all kinds of reasons.
I mean, no quarterback. Isn't Baker Mayfield there for another year?
No, he's talking about Urban Meyer when he left Florida. Tim Tebow had graduated.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There was not an heir apparent.
Yeah, that whole thing with Urban Meyer, headaches and all that other crap. Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, heart attack.
I mean, a heart attack, headaches, like
essentially
migraines.
Essentially, Nick Saban gave him a heart attack.
Yeah. And
yes, he didn't. And so, let me go dominate the Big Ten.
It's okay to admit you're afraid.
I don't know that he's afraid.
Too many GIFs on Twitter.
Yes.
Can't deal with those.
No. It's not afraid. The Twitter batter is killing him.
It says, this is good. This says, not afraid, just tired. No energy to keep up with young Tom Herman.
Yes, that's what I mean. There's
something to the idea of what Tom Herman is doing, assembling the staff and all the social media stuff and the what you have to do today to
refrigerator, locker room, lockers. Come on, stop it. That wears you out as a head coach when you think that Bob Stoops should be able to walk into a home in the state of Texas, not Oklahoma, and say to a player, "I'm Bob Stoops." Nowadays, the kid will go, well, you didn't tweet me this week, Coach. I'm upset. You didn't tweet me all week long. What am I going to do?
I think this is a pause button on his career. I think he comes back.
It's it. He's gone. I'll see you in Horseshoe Bay.
With Bobby Jack Wright?
Yeah. And the rest of the
yes. Retire. His wife is still like the Mary Kay queen. And she's the makeup lady.
She can still do that.
From Horseshoe Bay?
No, anywhere. She can still be married. That's get on the internet and sell your products.
We'll take your thoughts. Bucky's back weighing in on Bob Stoops for the first time. NBA Finals tonight. We've got a Stanley Cup champion. We've got the Rangers and Astros tonight in a Lone Star Series. And, yes, the U.S. Open. U.S. Open tees off on Thursday. We'll get you details on that and how you can be a part of our major championship golf challenge, which we do each time around here on B&E. We've done it for years and years. We'll take your thoughts as well. 447-3776. Also on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. It's B&E on the Horn. 104.9 on 101.9 on the FM dial. AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
I'm mad. Get down with my girlfriend.
B&E on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, whatever you're up to. Had a guy text say he was fishing in Galveston this weekend.
Love fishing this weekend with the full moon. Fish are biting like mad.
You were at the fish camp all weekend. So if you zoned out, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend, plenty of it. How about the Rangers sweeping the Nationals this weekend? Who would have thought that was coming? Best record in the National League going in, and the Rangers beat them three times. Yesterday, Austin, this is one of the great stories in baseball. That's why we love baseball, right? Austin Bibbins Dirks, a 12-year minor leaguer. This guy has just been the epitome of a journeyman minor league AAA player, and now he's because of injuries, and he's found his way to the Rangers. And
Dirks Bentley?
No. Austin Bibbins Dirks.
Oh, okay.
Not Dirks Bentley, the guy singing the national anthem at the Stanley Cup Finals. This is a great story. And yesterday, he's up against Max Scherzer, who went over 2,000 strikeouts yesterday. He outduels him 5-1. Rangers get a nice win. They sweep the Nats. Astros drop 2 of 3 to the Angels over there. And yes, Albert Pujols did hit a home run. I mean, that's, 60-something against the Astros now in his career. Astros and Rangers open up a series tonight down in Houston. Also on the good, did you see what Michael Bradley did last night in the 6th minute of the U.S. match with Mexico?
Chicharito being harassed. Bradley's going to escape from Herrera. Bradley trying to chip on Chara, and he scores! Michael Bradley! One of the all-time moments for the United States in this building.
All right, so that was at Mexico City, and Silence the Crowd is about a 40-yard shot over the goalie and then under the crossbar. It's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet shot.
I like it. Didn't act like an airplane. Just went over and didn't go to his knees. Just celebrated with his team.
All three of your kids played high-level soccer.
Yep.
Two daughters and a son. And would you always tell them never
if I ever catch you acting like an airplane or sliding on your chest or doing any of that stuff or going to your knees, I'll come right out there on the field.
No doing that.
No doing that. Or I'd actually leave the stands and come out on the field and bring you to the sideline and scold you in front of everybody. They never did that. It worked out.
How about on the good side, Kyrie Irving? I thought he was outstanding on Friday night. Scored 40 points. If he can continue to do that, they can play that kind of defense on Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving can keep attacking. They maybe have a chance tonight. BK will lead us through Hot or Not coming up, and we'll make our official picks. Also got to mention Rafa Nadal won his 10th French Open, mowing through the competition at Roland Garros. He won the French Open again, which was BK's pick on Friday. So there's plenty of good over the weekend, Buck. Plenty of bad as well. And you didn't catch the biggest fish.
No, I did not catch the biggest fish. I just wanted to get a redfish. I kept going down there, going to fish camp. I never caught a red, and I finally got one. It was 19 inches. I caught three. So I now believe there are some redfish down there.
Oh, there are some reds.
Oh, there's some good. Oh, it's just good. It's a good relaxing time down there with the guys. You go down there, eight guys. A couple people showed up. They had their boats and came to fish camp. And fish camp sleeps, I think, 16 upstairs. And so there's a lot of and burping and snoring. And, the power went out at 5:30 in the morning, which woke me up because then you can hear everything that's going on.
Oh, yeah, there's no sound.
And then just to listen to those guys that have been drinking all night long and the sounds they make, or every move when they turn over, it's like,
Those old dudes.
And
creaky.
Yeah, and they were, everything's good, but they didn't like the fact that I was getting up at 5:30 in the morning.
Because you're the one guy not drinking.
I'm not when it's not drinking.
So you're up making coffee.
And I'm used to getting up early, so when I get up at 5:30, when those guys go to bed at 3 or 2:30, and they want to sleep till like 8 or 9 o'clock before they go fishing, I'm up at 5-y, and I'm like, hey, coffee's on. Coffee. Hey, you want to come? No, leave me the hell alone.
It's not radio show time. Would you go back to bed?
Yeah, come on, leave it.
But you should be saying, I thought you guys wanted to go fishing.
And then after 10
come
o'clock,
on, man.
And then after 10 o'clock, I stopped talking. And they're like, oh, show's over?
Show's over.
We're out there fishing. I don't want to talk to anybody because the show's over. Yes. I don't want to talk then. It's all good. But it was a great time.
Good.
Great time. Great food. The guys make up some, these guys can cook.
They bring the George Foreman down there?
No. This is stuff. This is beans and, bush pork and beans. I never knew about bush pork and beans are good. You make all kinds of stuff.
16 dudes and bush pork and beans.
Oh, yeah. It was like Blazing Saddles around a campfire. Forget the beer. They drink liquor, too. I mean, I don't understand how you can drink.
Tito's is flowing.
The Bullet. Let me tell you something. Bud Light.
Bud Light skis.
Light. The Bullet, Tito's, you name it, it's there. But you look, and then like two bottles are gone, and then you see a guy just conked out. It's just a place to be a fool. That's what it is.
Be a kid again. Hey, this says, Bucky, you're right. Stoops' early retirement reminds me of DKR's early exit when he was being out-recruited by Switzer, especially with the black recruits. Because, Barry Switzer invented the black athlete.
Yeah, he did. He told us that.
And but Daryl Roy didn't.
They didn't recruit the black athlete, but
cheating as well. He thought,
it's time, man. 56 is a great time for that guy to retire. He's got so much money.
He's made a lot of money.
He has made a lot of money. He's won a lot of championships. And somebody said that Mack Brown owned him. Mack Brown didn't own Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops owned the Big 12 and Texas. He's 11-7 against
Bob Stoops in his 18-year tenure. Won five times as many Big 12 championships as the University of Texas did. No matter who the coach was, five times more.
So if you're going to stick around this business, why wouldn't you stick there? I mean, why wouldn't you stay where you are winning?
You're right. This might just be exactly, he's done. He's put in his time.
Let's not forget his dad died. Yes.
Well, his brothers are still coaching. I mean, their dad died too. I mean, it's one of those, it's a personal decision. I get that. And, the timing was odd for a lot of folks coming in early June. He's going to walk and they hand it over to a coach who's never coached before.
And he's worried about Tom Herman. Yes. He's worried about time. Did you want us all of a sudden start losing to Texas? Do you want at towards the, even if it's not in your mind, the end of his career, but at 56, do you want to continue to coach against Tom Herman? I don't think so. I think he's going, this guy is killing it in the recruiting. He hasn't even coached a game, and he's getting these great recruits.
Those are verbal commitments. And if Tom Herman goes out and goes 5-7 this year, he's going to keep all those commitments? I don't know.
Herminator, right. He's not going to go 5-2. Cake's made. Cake's baked. I don't understand what you already heard that the cake is baked.
That I have a high opinion of Tom Herman. I think he's going to do a great job. But I don't think that was one of the reasons Bob Stoops retired. I think it's a pause on his career. I think he wants a fresh start somewhere else.
I think it's a young man's game. Well, and I think you have to do an awful lot as a head coach these days. And
Nick
you have Saban, to keep up with that.
65 years old.
Nick Saban's got a whole staff of Nick Sabans.
Well,
he's got 50
Bob
people.
Can hire a whole staff of Nick Sabans.
Nick Saban has people signing his name and texting and all that other stuff probably. And Bob Stoops is, I mean, you look at him over the last couple of years, he looks worn. The man is worn. And
well,
then last year
maybe,
when Houston got a hold of him, he got worn.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I do think that there's a bit of, it's been 18 years and he's, there's a bit, maybe a bit of a, it's a bit stale at some level. Even in it, so, but I think a year off, doing some TV, counting his money. You know why I think he'll come back? Because he's a coach. He's a football coach. His father is a football coach. His brothers are football coaches. All he knows is coaching. And then you're going to tell me next offseason when a big job comes available, they call him, he's not going to at least listen to him? Of course he is.
Got money. He doesn't care. It's not about wins. He got enough wins.
He's a coach.
He could have stayed in the Big. You want wins? Stay in the Big 12. If you want wins, stay right here.
Well, he could have. But
stay
clearly
in your lane.
This is his lane right here. He owns this highway. Not anymore. Because there's a new sheriff in town.
I think he'll be back. But
David Beatty at Kansas?
No, I forgot about that. I'm glad you had to bring that up.
It says Lincoln Riley said in an interview that he found out 3 hours before the presser that he's going to be the new coach.
He's tired. He's tired of it.
Yeah, but you just handed the keys to one of the top programs in the country over to a 33-year-old unproven coach.
Well, guess what? It's not going to happen on Bob Stoops' watch. He's going to go out a winner in the Big 12 and a winner over Texas. He doesn't want to start this madness that's about to happen here when Tom Herman rolls off 9-10 wins. You don't want to be a part of that.
Now you got Tom Herman 10-2 this year?
I got 9. I got 9 for certain.
What if they beat USC?
Oh, get that top 4. Let's go. Let's start to get ready for traveling. It's traveling time if he beats USC.
Need football bad.
And you know that.
We
you know it's traveling really time bad. If he can beat USC. He's not going to beat USC out there.
Oh, man, but he's a big game coach, a big game hunter, Tom Herman.
Asked Bob Stoops about that last year when he came a-hunting down in Houston.
Oh,
he wrecked his whole team. Perrine, everybody. He knocked those guys smooth out.
Samaje got hurt in that game.
Yes, he did.
Samaje Purina.
Samaje Purina.
Yes,
they don't understand.
Redskins.
Tom Herman's not jacking around here. There's going to be some changes up in here. This Big 12 is too easy. Tom Herman's about
number.
To rule this madness.
Give me that number. I'm calling Bobby Jack right before he tees off and saying that you're on the radio saying that Bob Stoops is running from Tom Herman. I'm going to call him and tell him that. So
he's not running. He's in a slow gallop on the way with his back turned going.
He just knows he can't take advantage of Dylan Haynes anymore,
see,
so he's bolted.
Dude, you are so – see how – you mean the post patterns will be clear. It's over with. It's – all that messing around, see, you've met Tom Herman. We understand Tom Herman. We understand what he's about. You see what he's about right now in the recruiting trail. He has all the resources there are right now at the University of Texas.
I know.
Is anybody saying no to this dude?
No.
Are recruits saying no to this dude?
Nope. His bosses are doing whatever he asks.
He's on. It's on. And Bob Stoops knows it's on. Why would you want to hang around here? Why would you want to do that?
It says, Stoops came to Oklahoma as a hotshot coordinator with no coaching experience as a head coach, Riley hoping to carry the torch. Well, that's true. I mean, yeah. I mean, Stoops came in as a defensive coordinator, having never coached before. It says, Stoops handed the keys to a Ferrari to a 15-year-old. Ooh, that's usually a bad idea. It says, not running, sprinting from
See?
Tom Herman.
He's sprinting from that dude. It is on here. That's
you guys
what I love
great.
This.
I love
you,
it.
Who it if, look at it, E. We talk about the Big 12. This team right here who's won 5 games in the last 3 years or whatever they've won, 6.5, or they didn't get 6 1 year.
Six.
The
six
cake
and
is
seven,
baked.
5-7, 5-7.
There's nobody in this conference. Tom Herman's not losing to Kansas. And he's not losing to the coach down at Kansas State. That old dude right now is now breaking the laws, the HIPAA laws, and everything else. It's on here.
I have to text Bobby Jack and let him know what you're saying about his man on the radio.
I'm going to ask him flat out.
Well, we should.
Why is Bob Stoops running?
Running from Tom Herman. We'll come back. BK leads us through Hot or Not. We'll reset your headlines coming up. Plenty going on a busy Monday. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Hope you had a great weekend. Getting your work week underway on 12 June 2017. It'll be 93 and sunny today. Muggy as well. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
Hot and not on a Monday. BK leads us through that each morning just before 8 o'clock. A couple of hots quickly. TCU and Texas A&M both going to the College World Series. Congratulations there. Not so hot. The run of the Sam Houston State Bearcats came to an end at Tallahassee. That's a bummer. But TCU and A&M are going. Also hot, Buck. They'll tee it off on Thursday in the U.S. Open at Erin Hills. Yes, spelled like my name.
Yes.
Because we know Erin spelled that way is Ireland. Like Erin Gilbraw is Ireland forever, so this is essentially Ireland Hills in Gaelic. And this is a course you could never play because there are no carts. It's walking only. There are no paved cart paths.
No, I don't walk and play golf. Walking, that's called exercise. I'm playing golf. Want to go exercise, go to the gym.
No carts at Erin Hills. Got to walk.
No pull carts either?
I probably could get a pull cart. But there are no paved.
I don't do that either.
There are no cart paths.
I got it.
On the horse. It's a Lynx-style course about 35 miles northwest of Milwaukee.
I'll come out there with my little pony, like little sweet.
Total Lynx course. They're not a tree on the property. It's unbelievable. Absolute Lynx course. I'll tell you about the Lynx course I played over the weekend when we come back after the top of the hour. It was a toughie, but a goodie. But, BK, what do we have, my friend?
All right, guys. Game 5 of the NBA Finals is tonight. The Cavaliers extended the series. They won Game 4 on Friday, put up 137 in that victory over Golden State. But the series shifts back to Oracle. Of course, last year, this was the start of the 3-1 comeback for the Cavs. Kevin Durant's on the team this year. Golden State, 8.5-point favorites tonight. Guys, against the spread, but I'll get your picks straight up as well. Does Golden State close it out, or can Cleveland make this thing a little bit more interesting?
I think Golden State will close it out, but I don't think they cover the spread. I think it'll be a tight ball game. Kevin Durant will be big tonight. Old Cupcake himself will have a lot of points, I think. Golden State wins and ends it.
I tend to agree. I don't think it'll be a blowout, though, because I do think, you know, Cleveland found some confidence and found their physicality, and they took it to Golden State. Golden State was on their heels a little bit, and I think there was a little bit of complacency in that Golden State team, which was hard to believe. I thought they wanted to finish off the 16-0 run, but Cleveland, when they were that hot that early, plus the whistles were blowing a lot in that first quarter, and then it got testy. But when you make 24 three-pointers, they scored 72 points from beyond the arc in that game. And as we said, the Warriors scored 68 points in the first half and were losing by 18 points. And that's complacency on defense if you give up 49 and a quarter and 80-some and a half. It was just a remarkable game. So Cleveland gets that one. I agree with you. Inside 8.5, but Golden State wins the title tonight. On home floor. What else, BK?
All right, guys. Rangers and Astros start a 3-game set down in H-Town tonight. Astros 6-1 against the Rangers, but Rangers coming off a 3-game sweep at the Nationals, and the Astros, with a lot of starting pitchers on the DL, they just lost their first series to an AL West team. The pitching matchups are as follows. Tonight it's Darvish against Musgrove. Tomorrow the Rangers have yet to announce a start. We'll see what happens there, but McCullers will get the ball for Houston, and you got Cashner, Peacock. This is according to MLB.com, probable starters. So, How does this one shake out? Do the Astros continue their 2017 dominance, or can the Rangers, with a little bit of momentum, try to get a couple of these games down in H-Town?
I think the Astros will get back to what they've been doing to the Rangers. I mean, I think they get 2 out of 3.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, they're 6-1 against the Rangers so far this year. They've really had their way. It's been a role reversal. Yu Darvish, though, I mean, he's their best pitcher, and Joe Musgrove hasn't started a game since late May. He's got a bit of a stiff shoulder. So, you know, the optimistic Astro fan in me is thinking the Astros are just kind of pacing themselves here, putting some of these, you know, these minor injuries. They're allowing the Joe Musgrove to, you know, kind of rest for a month and bringing up some of their and they still have a 12-game lead. I mean, that's the thing. When you get off to the start that they did, you can afford to kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit with your pitching and make sure you, because again, the key for the Astros now is to be as healthy as possible and peaking in August, because they're going to win that division. They're one of the best teams in baseball, if not the best team. But you know, these games in June are important, but they're not nearly as important as what's coming in August.
Right.
So these three, I mean, you love McCullers. He's been the best pitcher in the American League since May 1st. He'll pitch game 2. Tonight's a big one because you've got Darvish and Musgrove. That's an advantage Rangers, you would think. But If the Astros can get that one, then you feel good about McCullers, and then flip a coin in Game 3. So I think 2 out of 3 Astros. I think 2 out of 3 Astros. I think they're a little. That game yesterday, Michael Feliz came in and gave up 5 straight 2-strike hits, including a home run. I mean, he had 5 straight batters 1-2 in the count and couldn't put them away and kept giving up hits with 2 strikes.
Man,
it was nuts. With 2 outs in the inning, I mean, it was nuts. But Angels have been hot. They were double digits a couple times coming into that series. So Astros Rangers tonight, got the NBA Finals game number 5. We'll take your thoughts and. Still talking the Bob Stoops decision of last week because Buck didn't get to weigh in last week when he was down at the coast. So he's back. We're back. 8 o'clock hour coming. B&E on the Horn, 104.9 on 101.9 FM on AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.